transports to Auschwitz. We are told that those Jews not fit for work were gassed immediately upon arrival, and hence do not appear in any written records, for the most part, but an account directly in conflict with this claim appears even in the WRB report. According to that report, a transport of 4,000 to 5,000 Jews from Theresienstadt, traveling as families, arrive at Birkenau in September 1943. They kept their baggage, and were lodged as families in the camp sector designated in Figure 29. They were allowed to correspond freely, a school was set up for the children, and the men were not obliged to work. They were considered to be in 6 months' quarantine. It is said that they were gassed on March 7, 1944, and that, quote, the young people went to their deaths singing, unquote. The relatives of these Jews got mail from them dated March 23 or 25, but it is claimed that the mail had been written on March 1 and postdated, in obedience to German orders. This procedure was repeated with another group of Jewish families, 5,000 people who arrived from Theresienstadt in December 1943, and whose quarantine was due for expiration in June 1944. Some men were put to work. According to what are said to be surviving records, in May 1944, 2,000 were on the employment list, 1,452 were still in quarantine, and 1,575 were considered, quote, in readiness for transport, vorbereitung zum Transport, unquote, which Reitlinger considers to mean in reality, quote, waiting for the gas chambers, unquote. This was repeated a second time with a group of Theresienstadt families which arrived in May 1944. Since these people were put into quarantine, it is a certainty that their quarters had been disinfested with cyclone just prior to their moving in, and perhaps at periods while they were living there. Now we are asked to believe that the Germans planned to kill them with the same chemical product later on. Essentially the same story was repeated in IMT testimony. The presence of such material in the WRB report is no mystery. Whatever was happening to the Theresienstadt Jews in 1943 to 1944 was fairly well known in Europe. In October 1943, when 360 Jews were deported from Denmark, they were sent to Theresienstadt, quote, where the Danish king could be assured of their safety, unquote. We noted on page 108 the Red Cross visit of June 1944. The Red Cross involvement with Theresienstadt receives further treatment in the next chapter. In a 1945 visit, the Red Cross reported transfers to Auschwitz in 1944, adding no sinister interpretations. To describe the Theresienstadt Jews as in readiness for transport, just before their quarantine was to expire, was perfectly logical, because it is known that many Theresienstadt Jews were being deported east. A source sponsored by the Israeli government, who had been at Theresienstadt, reports that from 1941 to 1944, the Germans were transporting Jews to such places as Minsk in Russia and Riga in Latvia. One must have passed by quite a few quote-unquote extermination camps to travel from Theresienstadt to those cities. The source also reports that young Theresienstadt Jews were eager to volunteer for transports to Auschwitz as late as August 1944. Rabbi Leo Back has claimed that somebody escaped from Auschwitz in August 1943 and made his way back to Theresienstadt, where he told Back of gassings. Back has explained why he told nobody else of this at the time. So that explains how it was possible that all those people were so eager to go to Auschwitz in their quote-unquote ignorance, at least that is what we will no doubt be told. The part of the Auschwitz legend touching on the Theresienstadt Jews is obvious nonsense even without contrary evidence, however. It is not believable that the Germans would quarter for 6 months at Birkenau each of three distinct groups of people of a category, for which there exists an extermination program at Birkenau. The dual role of cyclone in this story merely affects passage from the nonsensical to the incomparably ludicrous. If we examine another extant source of what is said to be statistical data concerning transports to Auschwitz, we meet the same situation. The data offered in the Netherlands Red Cross reports is more reliable than that offered in the WRB report, although it is rather limited. Nevertheless, as shown in Appendix C, the data shows that virtually all of the male Jews who were deported from the Netherlands to Auschwitz in July and August of 1942, entered Birkenau and were given registration numbers. It is also known that these Dutch Jews wrote letters to acquaintances in the Netherlands, in which they described the work at Auschwitz as hard but tolerable, the food adequate, the sleeping accommodations good, the hygienic conditions satisfactory and the general treatment correct. This was reported by the Jewish Council in Amsterdam, which claimed, however, that it knew of only 52 such letters. To Reitlinger, these things are mysteries for, he says, quote, at certain periods, entire transports were admitted, unquote. The term spot decisions has not been used subsequent to the Huss affidavit, so far as we know. The common term is selections. The story is that selections were made on incoming transports on a basis of suitability for work. This, of course, must be essentially true, Given the extent and variety of the industrial operations at Auschwitz, selections were required not only on a work versus no work basis, but also on, for example, a light work versus heavy work basis. Other factors which must have figured in this connection were whether a given transport was composed of prisoners, volunteer laborers, Jews being resettled, such as the Theresienstadt Jews, or other. The transports were no doubt also screened for certain key professionals, such as medical personnel, engineers, skilled craftsmen, etc. The extermination legend merely claims that one category sought in these elaborate sortings and selections was all non-employable Jews, destined for extermination. This claim has already been seriously undermined by the evidence.